Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
More than 200 people are still missing in Northern California as the campfire continues to burn in the woods of Butte County north of Sacramento. At least 42 people have died in the fire, making it the deadliest in the state's history. Thousands of buildings burned in and around the town of Paradise, now pretty much Paradise Lost. More than 50,000 people have been forced to evacuate. And President Trump approved a request yesterday for a major disaster declaration for the entire state. NPR correspondent Eric Westerveld is in Chico, just neighboring the fire. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Robin.
Oh, thanks so much for being there for us. We've been hearing your work. It's just quite something what you're telling us. And we've seen the videos, you know, people praying as they tried to flee the fire, abandoned cars, so much smoke. It's hit the Bay Area, 150 miles south. But what's it like up close?
Yeah, Robin, I mean, surreal is a word that sometimes gets abused, but I think in this instance it's fitting. I mean, there's this sort of eerie darkness at noon with a hint of glowing orange in the sky across Chico and the greater fire zone here. You know, the smoke sort of blotting out part of the sun. The air quality's bad. There's some ash, you know, on the ground. Most people are walking around wearing these small masks, the kind you might wear if you're, you know, painting your living room or something. And closer to the fire, it's you know, far worse. I was up in Paradise, and there are still these smoldering piles around. Firefighters were going sort of, you know, pile to pile, checking on potential hot spots and flare-ups, and they were finding them, putting them out. You know, and there's just so few remaining structures there that that didn't catch fire, but it really is a surreal kind of atmosphere.
Look, I've mentioned before, but my brother lost his house in the fires that are down south outside Malibu, and I'm pretty sure he's in shock. That's how it feels. And it wasn't even a family home, you know, a place that people had lived in for, you know, 30, 40 years. What are you, I mean, what's striking you about the people you're meeting?
Well, I'd say, you know, kind of like your brother, I mean, people are stunned. It's difficult. It's hard. They're tired, but they're also resilient. I mean, there's a kind of a let's pull together and get through this ethos, Robin. I mean, there's also intense emotion. I mean, the people are exhausted. They're drained. They haven't slept a lot. They're crashing with family or friends or in shelters. You know, I spoke to one woman at a donation center here in Chico, you know, who wanted to talk to me, but said, I'm just not sure I'll, you know, make it through this interview without breaking down. And sure enough, you know, she couldn't. The tears came pretty quick because people, you know, as you mentioned, they've lost everything. You know, they're waiting to hear about loved ones. They're hoping that, you know, word of their brother or uncle or aunt, friends, you know, missing or are in fact out of shelter with friends. But, you know, as more time passes, their worry and fear is just growing.
Oh, that, I mean, 200 missing. That's astonishing. Look, what kind of support are, you mentioned a shelter. What kind of support are the evacuees getting?
Well, Red Cross and Salvation Army, Robin, are here in force, you know, staying busy with food, shelter, and other help. There are several donation centers around town, and I was struck they're really just overflowing with new and used clothes, blankets, shoes, pillows, and, you know, games and books for children and more. People are giving all they can up here. And, you know, even, Robin, some people who lost their homes in Paradise were volunteering to sort and organize these donations, you know, the displaced helping the displaced. It was kind of incredible. At one point, you know, there's a big round of applause that went up when someone said, hey, you know, and community members coming with, you know, hot lunch for 200 people, and everyone cheered. And, you know, I talked to this one evacuee, Jimmy Coter. He lived in Paradise, worked at a local hardware store, and like so many, Robin, you know, he had to flee fast with little more than the clothes he had on his back. And he said the outpouring up here has really helped sort of pick up his spirits.
The outreach that's been going on, just the amount of volunteer help, and just being able to see people that you know on a daily basis that you haven't seen in four days, you know. I mean, it brings a tear to your eye, you know. And just the way people have been so kind and generous and helpful.
Well, and that, I mean, it's great to hear. But they still have whatever is ahead. And I'm thinking swaths of this region were, you know, decimated by fires in the last fire season, and they haven't recovered. And Northern California has a housing crisis. So what are they going to do?
Well, it's difficult. People are still in a bit of shock. You know, I asked one older woman, a lot of older folks, you know, wanted to settle in Paradise to live here, live out their retirement years. And I said, are you going to rebuild? And she just said, I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm just trying to make it. I'm thinking about my meal and getting, you know, she wanted to get clothes for church. She didn't have much clothes. And thinking about rebuilding, that was just a conversation to have down the road.
Way down the road, when they find the road. NPR's Eric Westervelt in Chico, California. Eric, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Robin.